Which parsha we are?
It's okay. Parashat Korach. And Korach is, of course, talking about, what are we talking about, Parashat Korach? Who knows?
Korach.
And what?
The rebellion.
The
rebellion.
How do you call
jealous.
Machloket?
It's not machloket, really.
The argument is a vikuach. That's more than a vikuach. It's a machloket.
Jealousy
is also involved, but that's not what the problem is. The point is the machloket that came out of it. The machloket is, I think that I'm right, and all the others are wrong.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of questions here, but the one of the main issues here is to understand and realize what is it all about. Because you see, all the arguments we have in our parsha are not about sitting on the beach or going to a disco or having, I don't know what, adultery or stealing or killing. We all talk here about what? About being close to God.
Yeah.
They want to be close to God. The Korach says, "Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, madu titnasu al kol Hashem." Everybody is holy. Why do you put yourself on top of everybody? We also been in Har Sinai. We also got the Torah. We also holy. Everybody is holy. And this brings us to a interesting point of view that gets. I see that the to the level that Am Yisrael are afraid to go on. It says. In the, let's see if I find it. It's like here in Pasuk. Unfortunately,
it's very small.
It's very small.
Which
this.
Page?
It doesn't help the page.
Yeah,
oh, you got the page. Oh, what this?
319.
This is Pasuk.
I will tell you.
You want Kapzain,
I think.
You want mine?
Pasuk Kapzain.
It's bigger.
It's after Shishi.
Kaf.
After Shishi.
After Shishi. Like the third Pasuk in Shishi.
Vayom Ruben Israel.
El Moshe Le'emor. And listen to what he said. Now this, before we go into the Pasuk, this is after 250 people were burned with the Ketoret. Adat Datan ve'Aviram were swallowed in the earth.
With Korah.
Yes. And there was a plague after Am Yisrael blamed Moshe and Aaron killing the 250 people. And after all this going on.
Yeah, you can continue.
And then they made they do the test with the sticks. Shishi.
Yeah, Shishi.
No, so the third pasuk in Shishi. You're in Korach?
Here,
third
here.
No, that's Ravi.
Shishi.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, as we said, let's...
Sorry.
Let's put it in the proportion. We want to understand what's going on here. So, Korach comes, says everybody is holy, but really he wants the job. Like... This is like the communist system. Everybody is equal. But then you found out very quickly that there were equal, more equal and less equal.
Yeah.
And there were those who were controlling everything and the other were poor and they had that thing. Okay. That's also, here comes, everybody is holy, but he wants to be the one. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him, there's only one who can have the job. So in other words, if you say everybody is holy, why do you take yourself on top of people? You want to put yourself on top of people and... So that you understand what's going on here. Nevertheless, the idea here is so terrible because Korach knows that all those 250 people are going to die. You know why?
Why he knows?
Yes, you know why he knows? Because why is he standing against Moshe and Aaron? Because he had Ruach HaKodesh. You see, if we want to understand the level of Korach in taking the people... Where is he exactly in the people, in Am Yisrael? It's Moshe, Aaron, and Korach. Korach was the one who, or those who took the ark. He had the Holy Spirit, he had the power of prophecy. So he saw that from his descendants are going to come out Kohanim, yeah. And so in other words, he was, if they come to the, it means that I am going to survive. He didn't realize it's going to be his son, his children,
his sons, yeah.
Not him.
Yeah.
So he saw that he is going to survive. That's what he thought. So in other words, what does he know now? He is going to survive, which means
he will be the leader.
And that all the 250 people standing there with the Torah, what's going to happen to them? They're going to die.
But why you?
Because the test of the Torah, if you want to go back,
yeah.
The two sons, yeah, the two sons of Aaron,
yeah, yeah.
Took the incense and went in, and what happened to them? They were burned. In other words, if you use it in the wrong place, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. And that's what's happening. And Korach knows, and nevertheless, Aaron and Moshe is warning them. He says, only one. And he's also give them a clue that he is already chosen. It's Aaron. But never the mind. Let's understand what's going on here. Korach knows
and
that
care.
250 people are going to die.
And he
doesn't care. On the contrary, he brings them there. How could, can it be this tzaddik?
Yeah. So how it's possible?
One of the top people. Then he's burned. The other people are being swallowed in the earth. Then Am Yisrael complaining. You killed them.
Yeah.
You killed Am Hashem. Why do they complain? Because imagine to yourself. Who are those people to 250 people? They are the heads of his Am Yisrael. And Rashi says, Elitzur ben Shdeor is one of them. You know who Elitzur ben Shdeor is? He's the one who was the nominated to be the leader of the tribe. Like this is a real tzaddik. And I asked once the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, if this means that all the head of the tribes were involved. He says, not necessarily. But Elitzur ben Shdeor is written that he was there. In other words, we're talking, if we want to understand, take all the rabbis you know, the most famous ones. They are standing there. So what do you think the people think?
It's okay.
It's okay. And if they're being killed, who killed them? God. Moshe and Aaron. Mm-hmm. They caused their death. Because why did you give them a test that means dying? Because the Torah kills. If you don't use it, if you're not the right guy to use it.
So this brings me to, I remember that you gave an answer the other day in the shul to a guy who complained why this guy is in Pikuach Nefesh, remember? And you told him, if Rav Ishul and Rav Katzin and Rav Steinberg say it's okay, it's okay. So you.
So this is the situation.
You see?
So you have to understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
So now you realize what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And that's not the Rav Katzin and the Rav Ishon.
No, it's more.
It's Reb Chaim Kanievsky.
That's right.
It's Rav Steinman.
Yeah.
Rav Vadia Yosef Zatzal. And you choose. So the people think to themselves, you, Moshe, you did it. And that's the same thing that Korach is really saying. Because what Korach is really saying, he's bringing with him creation. What is creation? Anshim, the people he brings with him are being called in a very strange name. Kriei Moed. Nesiei Yedah, Kriei Moed, Anshe Hashem. That's in the beginning of the parasha. What is Kriei Moed?
Kriei Moed.
What? Have you got translation there, Kriei Moed? Let's see if they've got. Any translation? It's the... Keep the place where we are, but go now to the one, two, the second pasuk.
Second pasuk?
Yes. The description of the people who are standing there with Korah. What is Kriyei Moed?
Anshei Shem.
Anshei Shem, okay.
Men of renown? No, that's
Anshei Shem. That's
Anshei Shem. Chief of the congregation.
That's Rashi Ibn Israel, and no.
People with fame, with very famous people. It's written here. with Rene.
Okay, so I'll ask you in Hebrew. You understand a little Hebrew. What do you think is Kriyei Moed?
Kriyei, I call.
Call, okay. Kriyei. And what is Moed?
Moed is...
Moed, what is the Moed? Chagim v'Moedim. Yontif, Moed.
So they are called...
You see, the minute, as again, another sample, when the translation...
Yeah,
cannot works. Understand what's going on here, so he even ignores it.
English?
So those summoned for a meeting.
It's not, if I understand it's right, it doesn't mention it.
Men of renown.
It doesn't go into it.
Men of renown.
The same here in Portuguese.
But that's not what's written here.
No.
I'm sorry to tell you, he's written something else, and nobody.
Yot is Anshei.
Anshei Shem is people of name. Like, you see,
this is
they say. That's Anshei Shem. You know, the thing is, the idea is that they were very famous people. And if you would have told the names, it would have bring shame to all the families. So the Torah doesn't say the name. But you know, it's like when you read in the paper that the son of this famous guy did this and that. They give you so many details that even if the name is not there, you already know who you talk about. And that's a similar situation.
I don't understand, sir.
Yes.
If they are so renamed Rabbanim,
yes.
And
that's what we don't understand.
What I don't understand,
yes.
How they didn't know that if they the authority is not they.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly.
Ah.
Exactly. I'm just making the question harder. We have to understand who we're talking about here. Now, the argument is very simple.
How you would translate it?
Kriyei Moed?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about now. That's why I asked the question.
No,
Rav Zalman Sorotzkin says a beautiful thing, unbelievable. He says, Kriyei Moed are those who announce the month. Who are they? The Beis Din, the Sanhedrin. Every month, there were people coming and telling, we saw the moon, didn't see the moon, they have the... And on this... The Beis Din decide the month is going to be 29 days or 30 days. The thing is, the Mishnah says, "Afilu toim, afilu shogegim, ve'afilu mezidim." The Beis Din, even if they did a mistake, and even if they did it intentionally, and made the wrong day as Rosh Chodesh, what is going to be?
It's
Rosh Chodesh. In other words, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. Sukkot, Pesach are going to be at the wrong day.
But
God is going to sanctify the day. Okay?
He'll.
So why? Now I'm asking you. So he is bringing those people in front of Moshe. Why? Because he wants to tell to Moshe, wants to give him a message. What is the message, you think?
Here I got backup. These are all men.
Yes, and?
And they support me.
And what do they do? They decide
that I'm the leader.
What day is sanctified, and God agrees with them. In other words, unbelievable idea. You decided Aaron is going to be the Kohen Gadol, and God agreed with you because there was a proof when Aaron went. And the fire came down and took the sacrifice and the Shekhinah came, it means that God chose him. So what's the argument? But he says, no. You got the ability and you got the responsibility to choose the people that are going to be with you. Second in command, third in command, that's your job. And whoever you're going to choose, even if he doesn't deserve, he is going to be sanctified by God the same way as it happens when the Beis Din decides on Rosh Chodesh. Even if they're wrong, and even if they make a decision intentionally wrong, still God is going to sanctify it. In other words, you could have chosen me, and I could have been the Kohen Gadol. This is because the Gemara asks, Korach shepikeach haya. He was a very clever guy. Mara leshtutzo. What is he, stupid? What was his idea behind the stupidity that he did? But now we realize he was not stupid at all. But what did Moshe tell him? Boker ve'oda et Hashem asher lo. What is boker? Very strange phrase. Morning. What's exactly the answer here?
I'll speak to God.
Vayi erev vayi boker yom echad. Who decides what's the first day, what's night and what's day? Who decides? God. The same way you telling me that I decided. I'm telling you boker. God decided. The same way as God decided vayi erev vayi boker, God decided that Aaron is going to be the Kohen Gadol. But also he gave them a night to sleep over it and think. Maybe tomorrow morning you will come to your senses and you won't stand there. Unfortunately, we all know they did stand there. Because the Mishnah says in Avot, Hakin'ah, ata'ava, vehakavod, motzi'im et ha'adam min ha'olam. Jealousy, lust, desire, and honor take the man out of this world. And that's what happened to them. They were like zombies. And it happens to us also. If we want something, sometimes, and we also cover it with holiness, but really inside, the motivation is not holiness. It's some desire we have. That's the Korach inside of us. Now.
But Korach has a Pasha in his name.
Of course.
Then he survived.
He
knew that he'll survive.
What do you mean survive? His sons. At the last, Korach was a tzaddik.
His descendants.
You have to understand.
His descendants, but his name is.
But
here.
Who educated his children?
He.
So, okay. Has he got something with them in them?
Yes.
Of course, he's got.
The generations, yes.
We cannot take this from Korach. That's a lesson. That's a lesson to learn. Okay, he did a big mistake. But at least his children made up for his mistake.
Yeah.
He paid for it. But his children did tshuva at the last minute, which the big lesson is that if you educate your kids in the right way, even if you go sour, wrong, sometimes it can be fixed. It's a lesson to learn. The Torah is not a story. As I'm always saying it. It's lessons to learn. Everything here has got a lesson. So, okay. After this is happening, the people come and says, you killed them. Because what do the simple people see? They don't go into Rakolkol. They see all the tzaddikim standing there and suddenly, whoosh, burning. What is this?
Then there's the plague.
And then, after they blame them, there is a plague.
Yeah.
And how is the plague being stopped?
Aaron.
With what?
With the insects.
With the ketoret.
Yeah, with the ketoret.
Because they say you killed them.
With the ketoret.
With the ketoret. So, now, how brave Aaron is. Because Aaron knows that if you use the ketoret in the wrong place, and going out with the ketoret, I'm sorry to tell you, is the wrong place. Now, his two children died from it. And just now 250 people died.
But Moshe tells him, go with
he doesn't think. Moshe told me, I'm going in.
That's right.
And he's got an argument with Malach HaMavit.
Yeah.
Because the angel of death come to him, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
I am the messenger of God. He says, I'm the messenger of Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, sorry? You crazy or something? What? I'm the messenger of God, you're the messenger of Moshe Rabbeinu, so who is more important? He says, I want to tell you something. If Moshe Rabbeinu says something, who said it?
Hashem.
If you want a proof, let's go. Moshe Rabbeinu now is standing and talking with whom?
With Hashem.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the plague stops. Now everybody sees what's going on here.
Yeah.
Then they do another test. You know, this is not enough.
Yeah.
Everybody understands the idea.
Yeah.
No, another test. Bring sticks
yeah.
and let's see what stick is going to bloom.
Yeah.
So what's the result of everything? The people come, as we say, and they say, in a Pasuk, Kafzain we said?
Yeah, Kafzain.
Kol hakarev. No, let's start before. Vayomru bnei Yisrael el Moshe le'emo. And the children of Israel told Moshe, Hen gavanu, avadnu kulanu. We are lost. All of us are going to be dead. Why? Kol akarev, akarev el ha-mishkan Hashem, yomut. Everybody who comes close to the holiness, what's going to what's happening to him?
Dies.
What's going on here? And you know, it's unbelievable lesson, because I must remind you again, we're not talking here about going on a vacation or having a, let's say, a party or going and steal or I don't know, kill. We're talking about getting close to God. And we have to understand what's going on here. The people don't understand. So what's going on here? Everybody who tries to get a little closer to God
dies.
What is these sticks?
The sticks, they did a test. And each one, they took a piece of wood. How do you call it? A knife?
A staff.
Yes.
And perhaps everybody brought his staff. They put it near the Luchot HaBrit, near the ark, inside. And God said in the morning, the one who is staff is going to bloom and have flowers.
They put their name of in this staff.
Yeah, of course. Everybody put the name. Everybody, the one who is going to bloom is the one I chose. And of course, in the morning, Aaron's one bloomed.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that they took those staffs back home. It's written. It's very interesting. The Zalman Soroskin also asked, why did they take the...
Because it was blessed, maybe. It was blessed.
They lost. Yeah, it was a competition. They lost. So why do you take it home and not ever let... The Rav Zalman Soroskin, they took it home and put it in the middle of the living room.
To remind them?
To remind them what?
That really is Hashem chose Aaron.
Is this something to tell my children? That he didn't choose me, he chose Aaron? You know, normally that you put a trophy that you won, not that somebody else won. But a little stupid to put a trophy that Aaron won and I lost. Did you see somebody put trophies that he lost? I didn't see.
No.
The cupboard is full. Oh, I was the 50th place in the competition. What, you stupid or something? If you were first place, second place, third place, I understand. So what's the idea? It's an unbelievable idea. To understand what people we're talking about.
The level of the people.
Yes. They lost. But they wanted to show the children, you see. People fight on what? For money, for
kavod.
What did we fight for?
To be closer.
To be close to God. We lost, but learn from our fights, and may your fights be the same fights. This is a very interesting point, because in the dark you see also the light, and we have to look for it, because we're talking about a generation that were really so close to God, and that's why they are being judged in a different way. What can we do? It's a different level. It's like the other day I listened to a shiur, Kobe I think gave in shul, and I heard that he said about, they were talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu slept with all the wives. And he says, Kol Haedah, everybody. And I'm sorry to tell you, no, I'm not the one going to talk against him, but that's wrong. Nobody said all of them talked. The people who talked were those who were involved in the argument with Moshe Rabbeinu, Datan va'Aviram and his group. But not all the people. And if you want to check through the desert how many people really sinned, you will find out that we talked about it in the past a few times. Only a few. In Jericho, when Kodesh Baruch Hu told that all people sinned, it was only one guy that took something. One guy. Golden calf. 3,000 people. Not even from Am Yisrael. The Erev Rav.
Yeah.
So you will see. So you will ask, okay, so why Am Yisrael are paying so...
And here, even such 250 people.
And you're talking about how many?
200.
Millions. No, the people, the nation.
The nation.
250 people. Yeah. A demonstration that nobody even writes on the paper.
Yeah.
Think about it today. 6 million people, okay? 250 people have a demonstration in front of the Knesset. Maybe somebody will take a picture, you will hear it, and that's it. Nobody will talk about it. If there were a few thousands or hundreds of thousands, then you will hear about it. Talk 250 people. That's the whole thing. And Datan va'Aviram, and also their We're talking about the minority of the minority, but at their level, they should have made sure that you don't have people like this, even if they're only a few. And the problem is that when there is jealousy inside, it can touch everybody, even the top people. And the other big lesson is, even in holiness, you cannot choose what you want to do. I want to be a Kohen. Can I? Why? I want to be close to God. I want to do the work for Job. I want to be close to Him. The normal thing you would say, why not? Think about it logically. Let's say I've got this rabbi, a great tzaddik. He says, I want to be nearer to God. I'm a big rabbi. I'm a big tzaddik. I want to be a Kohen. Why not? God says, everybody's got his own job. And this is the idea behind everything here. People say, Tom, what? Everybody's going to die when you want to go close to God? So Moshe explained to them then. That's the whole idea of the parsha. Korach got a job. Moshe got a job. Aaron got a job. Elitzafan got a job. Elitzur got a job. Everybody got a job. Who gave the job? God. Do you think he knows what he's doing? Now, if he gave you the job, what does it mean? That you have to try and take another job?
No.
And it doesn't matter what job it is. You do your job. That's what Moshe is telling them. Rav lachem nei Levi. Ameat mikem. What are you arguing about? God gave you an unbelievable job. What's not enough what God gave you? It's like I said this week also. Imagine to yourself a factory that all the people were chosen by the biggest psychologists and professionals that checked everybody and gave him tests to see what he's suitable for. Like this one is suitable to be in the factory itself, this one is suitable to be in the office, the other one is like he knows how to manage people, and this is a good driver, and they gave everybody a job. But this is a very interesting factory. Everybody gets the same salary.
Really?
Yes. And suddenly one of the drivers comes, says, I want, what I've got is not enough, I want another job. Says, but you're not going to get any more money. Doesn't matter, I want another job. What would you think about him? All the experts said that he's suitable to be a driver. And in being a driver, he will come to the maximum of his abilities. Now, if he wants to be something else, it means two things.
Yeah.
Either he doesn't do anything, so he doesn't care. He's going to take another job, he's also going to do nothing. In other words, what is motivating him is not doing the right job, but it is something else. It can be jealousy, it can be, status, can be a lot of things, but definitely he's not doing his job. Because if he was checked that he's suitable for this job, he should be satisfied. Now, if you would tell me that if he goes to a different job, he's going to get more money, it's different. But that's not the case, as I said. The same way is with Am Yisrael. What do you think? If you are a Kohen and she's a Levi and the other one is Israeli, you're going to get a different reward?
No.
If you're doing your job, you're going to get the same reward. That's the equality of Am Yisrael. To be equal in Am Yisrael means if you use your potential, you will get exactly what your friend is getting. It's not the results. It's what you can and have to do. In other words, you can be a great rabbi and you can write 200 books and you go up to heaven and they will send you back or chas v'shalom to Gehenom. And you can be a guy that learned only one page of Gemara all his life, and when you go up, you will go directly to heaven. Why? Very simple. The guy who came with the 200 books, they were saying, we're sorry to tell you, you had to write 500 books. You wrote only 200. But I wrote 200 books. So what? You got abilities to do much more. The test is not how much you did. It's did you use your potential or didn't you? So everybody, always when I'm talking about this issue, say, so how do I know what is my potential?
Yeah. No, but...
And I ask you a better question. Somebody came to me and says, they say everybody who is bigger than his fellow, his Yetzer Hara is even bigger. Kol ha-gadol mechavero, Yitzro gadol al. And so, he says, you know what? I don't want to be big. I don't want to be a big tzaddik. I want to be a small tzaddik. Why I have a small Yetzer Hara? I don't want a big Yetzer Hara. So what's the answer? It's very simple. If you think that you can get up there and stand in front of God and says, I've got enough with what I did. I don't need any more. God is going to tell you, I'm sorry. I didn't ask you what is enough or what not is enough. I gave you tools. I gave you ability. And you had to get to this level. If you didn't get there, you go back. In other words, I want to be a simple, I've got enough. I did a few mitzvahs, so okay. You know, I'm a sameach b'chelki. Eizu ashir sameach b'chelko. I'm happy with what I've got. I'm satisfied. Because I'm sorry to tell you, it's not a question of satisfied or not satisfied. The question is, I gave you tools. Did you use them or you didn't? I did. Yeah, but you didn't do all what you had could do. So it's enough for me. But he said, but not for me. Yeah, but you know, I don't know anything. Go back.
But maybe not always you choose choices in your life that maybe you are not using your potential there, and in the way you discover that instead of an engineer, I want to be a doctor, and this that I want it so much, and I go and I make the exams and I enter and I finish and I work in this, and I discover that I can use my potential in this.
Yes, oh, no,
to
what's
be a
wrong?
Doctor and
very
not
good.
An engineer.
Very good.
And but you did all the efforts to use your potential there.
Exactly.
But maybe you have not the courage to change, and you continue an engineer like in your...
Don't forget,
frustrated engineer.
Whatever you say, you are right, but there is something in this equation that we don't think about. God is there, and we have Ashgacha Pratit. What is Ashgacha Pratit? What does it mean that God looks after each one of us? God the Almighty, He knows exactly what's going on inside of us. And if you want to use your potential, believe me, God is going to help you. In other words, you will find a way. The derech she'adam rotze leilech molichim oto. The way that somebody wants to go, God takes you.
You think so? There is also the mazal.
What is mazal?
I don't know.
There's only one mazal, God.
Yes, God take you, but there is...
You know.
If you're going in the right direction,
exactly.
Hashem will take you. If you're going in the wrong direction...
You're also going to be taken there.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, that's the way it works. But if your intentions are sincere, even when you go in the wrong direction, God is going to show you or hit you or move you to the right direction. If you're going with a good intention. But if your intention, because akol bidei shamayim, chutz mirat shamayim. That's what Chazal tell us. But in other words, everything is in the hand of God except of one thing. Yirat shamayim. The fear of God. In other words, everything is happening around us and is in the hand of God, not on our hands. So God gave you tools. You use them. How do you know that you use them in the right way? You have the feeling inside. If you go in the right way, God is going to help you to get there. Don't worry. How much do I have to do? The more you do, the better it is. That's exactly the idea. God is not telling you how much or what are your abilities. He gives you tools. You go and work. And the result, as I said, that's the... In Judaism, it's not like the idea of communism. The idea of communism is wrong. Because we are not equal in this perspective. We are equal in using our talent that God gave us as well as we can. And then we get exactly the same reward. Not the result of what we've done, but the effort we put into it in order to achieve our potential. That's all. It's like they said about Reb Zusha, it was 100th time I'm talking about. Reb Zusha, they're finding me one day crying. Says, Reb Zusha, why are you crying? He says, I'm crying that I'm not, if I go up, when I get there, they're not going to ask me, why haven't you been Moshe Rabbeinu? So this guy laughed. He said, sorry, Reb Zusha, I know you are a very great tzaddik, but Moshe Rabbeinu? Why should they ask that you didn't achieve the level of Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, that's exactly the idea. They're not going to ask me. What are they going to ask me? Why haven't you been Reb Zusha? And that's what it is. And that's the mistake of Korach. Korach, you got a job. God gave you, and he had one of the best jobs. But we say, when jealousy is in it, and honor, and lust, you lose your ability to think. That's motzi'im et ha'adam min ha'olam. I never understood it. What's the idea of jealousy, lust, desire, and honor take you out of the world? What does it mean take you out? I see a lot of people, jealous people going around the streets. People are seeking honor, are walking on the street, having very nice life. So I didn't see that God took them from this world. But that's exactly the thing. What makes you what you are? If you drink and eat and go to sleep and run after your own desires, is this a human being or this is an animal? A behemoth, in other words. We are not behemoths. Now what happened to Korach? He became a behemoth, unfortunately. The minute that you go after your own desires and you forgot that you have the neshama inside, that you're connected to God, even if you cover it with the holiness, like you say everybody is holy, why do you put yourself on top of us? But what do you want to be? On top of us. So what are you standing on? What, you crazy or something? What are those 250 tzaddikim doing there? It's like the shahidim. They come with a bomb, how do you call it? Chagurat nefetz? How do you say it in English? They say bomb belt. And they wait for the right minute, boom! Psh! That's what they did. Standing with the incense, and the minute they light it, boom! What's going on through their mind? They are not here anymore. They lost their mind. And it doesn't happen to us. When we want something,
yeah,
we want a new house, we want a new car,
three.
We want whatever. He did it, the other one did it. We don't think we want it, and then we take a loan and we take this and we put ourselves in so many problems. For what? That's the Korach inside us.
Yeah.
And this is the acid of the parsha. This is why the people looking, the simple people looking at what's going on, they didn't understand what's going on here. Because for them, it looked like all the tzaddikim running to be close to God, and look what happens to them.
They die.
They die. How can it be? So then Moshe Rabbeinu explained to them. Even between the Kohanim and the Levim, and the Levim to Levim, and the Kohanim to Kohanim, if you got a job, you're not allowed to do the other one's job. You know, the Gemara says, if you do the other one's job, what's your penalty? Death! Those who open the gates and those who sing, if they should, there's a whole discussion. If they do the other one's job, is this more important, less important? What is the punishment? And one of the opinions is very simply, whatever it is, if you change the job you were given, there is one penalty, death. Well, so everybody's going to die? That's what they say, Am Yisrael. Says, no. You can all be holy. And you can all be alive and do the best out of your life. The only thing you have to do is do your own job. Don't look at the other one's job. Don't be jealous. Don't look for honor. Look on a connection to God. And the connection to God is being made very simply. It's inside you. It's in your power. Lo bashamayimi. It's here. God gave you the tools. Just use them. Whatever you do, use your own tools. But the minute there is jealousy there, we have a problem. And this is something we have to put in our mind. How do we fight jealousy? So the best way to fight it is to put it in our mind that whatever we've got is the best for us. Your husband is the best. Your wife is the best. My house is the best. My car is the best. Whatever I have is the best for me. Not for him. He needs something else. He needs to drive a BMW. He needs it. No, I'm not laughing. That's life. And the other one needs to go with the Suzuki or with the Hyundai, whatever. Or the other one with bicycle. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, this is only a virtual world. And we have to fight it. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Because this is a fight that we have every day, especially living in Ra'anana and seeing all those things around us. It's very easy to get jealous. And if you think the rich people, the top people are not getting jealous in others, believe me, even worse.
Worse, of course. Because they have more money and they can buy more things.
So the thing is, we have to know, so you were asked, oh, so what do we do? What? I shouldn't live in a nice house? I shouldn't have a nice car? No, who said no? You should have whatever God gives you, the ability, go and enjoy it. As long as you use it to connect yourself to God and to the people. Doesn't matter.
But I myself don't want to have things because the others have. If I want an apartment with a Porsche or apartment, it's because I want to, because I enjoy having this. But not because the others have or the...
Very good. You are on the right way. But unfortunately, I want to tell you a small secret. I want to tell you a small secret. Inside, you know, not everything that we do and think here in the front of our head is what we've got in the back of our head. Because sometimes things motivate us we don't even know. Because you see, if you've imagined yourself living in Romania in a village that have nothing, and the best thing that they have running water. So you will want running water. You won't even think about having Coke or having a villa. Because it's not going to be in your area. You're not going to think about it.
Yes, it's not your desire.
What did you say?
No, it's not your desire.
Desire.
No, nobody exactly. else has it so much.
Exactly. In other words, when you live in a society when people have a lot of the, let's say, the materialistic world, inside, you also want it. You can convince yourself that it's only you want, you don't care about what's going on. But believe me, I tell you, for example, we're talking about, you know, people are buying those big houses. You know, I live with we have three brothers in one room. Today, where do you find three brothers living in the same room? They will be considered as poor people. That's life today. Unfortunately, it's so wrong because everything is in our head. Why is it impossible for three? We are three big boys living in a small room. The beds were going in. We took them out at night. And we slept three people, and my father was not poor, Baruch Hashem. Boy, he had Baruch Hashem plenty. But that's the way we were living. What do you think? They need all those big villas? For what? What, you can sleep at three beds at night?
1,000 meter house.
Yeah, you need 1,000 meter house. Well, what do you want to do in it exactly?
You need a microphone to call.
In other words, it's all what we see around us and the standard of living that inside of us we also want. I'm not saying, see, that's the nature. What I'm saying is, let's try and control it. Let's understand where it comes from in order to control it. I'm not saying live like poor. Live, enjoy. People, God gave you, enjoy it. Use it because dirana'a, ishana'a, kelim na'im, marchivim da'ato shel adam. So that a good wife, a nice wife, good environment, nice environment, they are making your, how do you say, your thoughts and your environment fruitful. Like it gives you power to do more. So it's nice. You know, you can learn Gemara without an air condition, sweating, and with no books, like with the old book that they cannot see the letters, and you can learn with big light and air condition. So what would you say? Some people will say to you, no, it's better that you sweat and have a Gemara that you hardly can read because the Amal of the Torah is good. That's not the idea. That's not what God wants. God gave you, you use it, but when you use it, use
to
it
study
for
the Torah, not to learn.
Use it for the
books,
use it for good things, not for bad things. That's the idea. And what was happening with Korach is the big lesson for us, that in each one of us, there is a small Korach. He sees things he also wants, and sometimes he goes over the top, like Korach did. So I'm not saying that from today we're going to be angels, but let's try and go in the right direction, and Bezrat Hashem, God will help us.